If you have, you'll have seen that some comedian has removed the letter R from the sign. So it reads, Anlaby welcomes careful divers. And given that, I'm assuming that we'll all like the first of our images today, because it's all about a net in the sea. We're going back to Matthew's Gospel today. If you've been with us for the last few years, you'll know that on and off we're slowly working our way through Matthew's Gospel. And among other things, it's a manual for Jesus' followers as it reveals Jesus to us and shows us what following him looks like. And included in the narrative are five blocks of Jesus' teaching, and they explain and move forward the events of his ministry. And you may remember that a year ago or so, we looked at the third block in chapter 13, where Jesus talks about God's kingdom and how it grows. He uses various parables. So you may remember the parable of the sower, the mustard seed and the yeast, the hidden treasure and the pearl, and perhaps most like today's parable, the parable of the weeds. And through these parables, Jesus taught that God's kingdom is growing, but slowly. It appears unimpressive. There are different responses to the message of the gospel, and indeed most people respond negatively. And all of this teaching reflects the growing division as the religious leaders of the time reject Jesus, and yet he gathers a new community. And today we're finishing off that third block before launching into the next set of events that Matthew recounts, which leads up to the fourth block of teaching in chapter 18 that we'll get to in about March, about living as a member of God's kingdom. And through this series, we'll see the division continuing as people are either drawn to Jesus or reject him. We'll see a new community being formed, gathered around Jesus and his word and focused on the disciples. And we'll see what appropriate behavior in the community looks like. But today, as we close the third block of teaching, we're given a final parable, the parable of the net, and a closing image, the image of a treasure house or a storehouse. And at the start of this new year, we're going to see how that parable and the image point us to how we can be prepared for 2019, whatever it might hold. So first of all, what to expect in 2019? What to expect in 2019? I said in the prayer meeting, I'm not going to mention Brexit, and I'm not. What to expect in 2019? Verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So for the final time, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to something else. And this time it's like a net, he says, a dragnet. This was a large net weighted on one side, so it sank to the bottom of the lake, but with floats on the other side, so it floated on the top. So it created a wall of netting from top to bottom that was then dragged along between two boats, catching everything in its path. And this meant that all kinds of fish were caught, both fish that were good and could be sold for much needed income, but also fish that were bad for whatever reason. Probably they were one of the unclean types that couldn't be eaten, and there was no market for them. And so once they were brought back to shore, the fishermen sorted them out, good and bad, putting the good fish in baskets ready for sale, throwing the bad fish away. I've just thought, there's one person here who knows all about what I'm talking about here. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like that. What does he mean? This time last year, we showed if we can go back a bit. A bit further. Sorry, I know the slide numbers are all mixed up, aren't they? So apologies for that. That's the one. Brilliant. This time last year, we showed this diagram from the Vine Project, which we were working through as we thought about making disciples. And we talked about how when someone puts their faith in Jesus and starts to follow him, they move from the domain of darkness on the left to the kingdom of the Son. That's a reality in the present, being a member of the kingdom. But someone who's in the kingdom is still waiting for the consummation of the kingdom, when they're finally gathered around the throne of Jesus, and there's the peace and the joy that we thought about last Sunday, if you were with us. And one of the consolations, hearing the news about Trevor and Barbara, is that we know that they are there now, closer to the presence of Jesus. But here, Jesus is introducing another element to this picture, because he's saying, as you and I look around at the kingdom of God and at the church, we can't see into people's hearts. We can't see whether people who claim to be part of the kingdom really are, whether they really have repented and believed. So as we look around, there'll be all sorts of people who look as though they're in the kingdom, just as there are all sorts of fish caught by the dragnet, who in fact are not God's people. Just as in Jesus' time, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law seemed to be the best people, the closest to the center, if you like, and yet they proved themselves not to be God's people by how they responded to Jesus. Of course, God knows who really is a member of his family, who's really repented and believed and is seeking to follow him. And on the final day, people will be separated out. Those who've really repented and believed will go to be with Jesus in growing joyful delight forever. Those who haven't, says Jesus, will be cast into the fiery furnace. And when he says the wicked, he doesn't just mean axe murderers and those who are particularly bad. No, in Matthew's gospel, it's anyone who doesn't respond to Jesus in repentance and faith. And the fiery furnace is clearly a picture for hell. It doesn't tell us everything about what hell will be like, but the Lord Jesus, the most loving person who ever lived, tells us enough to make us want to do anything to avoid it and to help other people to avoid it. So what does this mean for us in 2019? Well, in short, it means that as we look at what appears to be God's kingdom, it'll be messy. When we see signs of God's kingdom advancing, which we will, there will also be setbacks. And we shouldn't be surprised when we come across those claiming to be part of God's kingdom who, in fact, are not. So, for example, as we seek to send disciples to bless the Annaby communities in the 2019, there'll be mixed responses. As we put on Noah's Ark or light lunches or something else, some people will be happy to be served but won't want anything to do with God or his people. Some people might seem to respond to the gospel, might start coming to church, but that in itself isn't proof that they're part of the kingdom. But we trust others will respond, will repent and believe, and therefore be part of the kingdom. Another example, as we look at the Church of England or the Diocese of York as a whole, there'll be lots that's good in the coming year. There'll be talk of church planting, of mission, of serving our community, and that's all great. But we'll also hear bishops and other clergy wanting to change the teaching of the Bible and how we apply that today. You may have heard last month the House of Bishops issued some very unhelpful guidance, appearing to tell clergy they must help transgender people celebrate a change in gender. Now, clearly there are some very complex issues to deal with there, but to issue guidance like that is at best unwise. Thankfully, there are other bishops who are saying that it's unwise and who are disagreeing with it. We may well see more of that kind of thing in 2019. So we mustn't be surprised when God's kingdom seems to be a mess. But we can be encouraged that God will deal with it in the end. The good and the bad will be separated out. I read this helpful quote this week that I thought I'd share. Eternity is long enough to make amends for all the evil that has fallen on us so far in this life, and any evil that will fall on us this year. So take courage. Today we are 1 year closer to the land where the skies are always clear, where flowers cover the hillsides, and where every tear-stained face feels the tender touch of Jesus Christ. So what to expect. And then second, what to treasure in 2019. What to treasure. Have a look at verse 51. Jesus has finished what he's saying, and he asks, "Have you understood all these things?" "Yes," replied the disciples. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who's become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." I wonder what you thought as verse 52 was read. It's a strange verse, isn't it? It immediately makes us ask, what's it all about? And when you're looking at a difficult verse, it's wise to start with the bits you do understand and let them help you with the bits that are less clear. Well, that's actually a good principle for reading the Bible generally. Start with the clearer bits and then use them to help you interpret the less clear bits. Well, let's do that. And starting with the phrase, the person who's become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven. We know what that is. We talked about it earlier. It's someone who has repented and believed in the power of the Holy Spirit, who started to follow Jesus. But he doesn't say every disciple. He says every teacher of the law who has become a disciple. So this is talking about those who teach God's word, those who teach God's word and are following Jesus, as against the Pharisees and the others who'd rejected Jesus. They are like something. What are they like? Well, they're like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom or his treasure room new treasures as well as old. Now, I think those words new and old give us a big clue here. I don't know whether they ring any bells with any of us. But he's talking about the old revelation from God, the Old Testament, and the new revelation in Jesus that will become the New Testament. So bring it all together on the next slide. The teacher, this is what he's saying, I think, the teacher who is also a follower of Jesus will bring treasure out of God's word, both Old and New Testament, in order to teach it to others. Now, there are a few things I particularly want to pull out of that, because that's a very rich verse. So the first thing is that when we're speaking about God's word, the Bible, Jesus uses the image of a treasure house, a storeroom full of treasure. And I don't think this is a coincidence, because again and again, the Bible describes itself as treasure. So listen to Psalm 19. "The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold." The whole of God's word, Old Testament and New Testament, is treasure. It's more precious than gold, more valuable than riches, more to be desired than diamonds and Daimlers. Why? Because in it we find Jesus, and in him we find salvation, life, hope, purpose, joy, satisfaction. Over Christmas, I saw the Disney film Aladdin. It's amazing I haven't seen it before, but finally saw it. And I'm sure you know the story, if you haven't seen that particular film, where Aladdin goes into a massive cave filled up to the brim with treasure. Well, that's what we have here. I wonder if we believe it. Then we need to see that the New and the Old Testament are important. It's true that Jesus talks about the new treasures first, and this fits with the fact we can only understand the Old Testament in light of the New Testament. It's only when we know Jesus as revealed in the New that we can grasp how the Old Testament prepares us for Jesus and reveals Jesus. So in a sense, the New Testament has a priority, but the Old Testament is still vitally important. It's still treasure. I remember years ago when I was exploring Christianity for myself, having a conversation with someone saying, I really don't believe the Old Testament. It's full of violence. It reveals a different God. But I was wrong. After I became a Christian, people began to show me how everything in the Bible points us to Jesus and our need for him. If we don't read the Old Testament. Yes, we still know enough to be saved, but we don't have a full appreciation of Jesus and who he is and why he came and how we're to respond in the power of the Spirit. And that's why at the Anderby churches we think it's important to preach sometimes from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And then third, how God's kingdom grows. Because verse 52 is an important verse at this point in Matthew's gospel. As we've said, there's growing division. The religious leaders are rejecting Jesus. And Jesus is preparing his disciples to lead God's new community. And at this point in Matthew's gospel, this verse is saying that for the new community, new teachers are needed. Teachers who first and foremost need to be disciples of Jesus. And the way the kingdom will grow, the way God's new community will grow, is as they bring treasure, God's word, Old and New Testament, and teach it, open it up, share it with others. So what are we to treasure in 2019? Well, we've got our answer, haven't we? We're to treasure God's word and we're to teach it to others as we have opportunity. Well, how can we do that? Well, first, we can treasure God's word individually. If we can go on to the next slide. Treasure God's word individually. And we do that, first and foremost, by reading it. And not as a box to tick, reading it prayerfully, desperately, asking God to reveal himself to us through it. I'm not a fan of New Year's resolutions. You probably heard that most New Year's resolutions get broken by the 19th of January. But this would be a great New Year's resolution to decide to read part of the Bible every day, to treasure it, and to ask God to help you do it rather than try to do it in your own strength, which I think is the reason most resolutions get broken. Just 5 minutes initially is fine. Why not go on a website like the Good Book Company and see what helps are available with doing that? There are Bible reading plans and notes and all sorts of things. And on the blog of the website, I've put a couple of references, and this is one of them, a particular point on the Good Book Company website where you can find various helps. And then we treasure God's word by learning it and meditating on it. As we learn a verse of the Bible, it becomes part of us. We can chew on it through the day. It changes us. It affects us. During my period of leave after my operation, I was reminded of the power of meditation. I've been learning and meditating on Psalm 36, or part of it, over the last few weeks. It's a wonderful psalm about the character of God and the blessings that he brings to his people. And by the way, hopefully we know that Christian meditation is not the same as Buddhist meditation or mindfulness. In those things, you empty your mind. In Christian meditation, you fill your mind with God's truth. And again, if you'd like to read more about memorizing and meditating on Scripture, there's a link on the website, on the blog. So do follow that up as well. And then make disciples as a church by bringing out treasure from God's word. Our final way that we can treasure God's word in 2019. At every opportunity, we as a church need to bring out treasure from God's word. For those of us who teach and preach, please pray for us. Please pray for the preaching every Sunday. Please pray for those leading life groups and the other midweek groups. I often say that if God isn't working, we're wasting our time, and I believe that. Pray the word is conveyed as treasure, that it comes with power and with the Holy Spirit. Pray that people are built up in their faith, that new people join us and are born again. But then for all of us, we all have opportunities, don't we, to bring out treasure from God's word. Maybe if you're in a conversation with a family member or a friend and you just get an opportunity to drop in something that God's revealed to you recently. You don't necessarily know how they're going to respond, what impact it's going to have, but you've shared the treasure. And then it's up to the Holy Spirit to use that in the other person's life as he chooses. For God's kingdom grows as disciples of the kingdom bring out treasures from God's word. So what to expect in 2019? Don't be surprised when God's kingdom seems to be in a mess. But God will sort it out in the end. What to treasure? God's word, Old and New Testament. Got some things to think about and to pray about. Why not just take a minute or two to think about one of those first two questions? By all means, chat to the person next to you if that would be helpful, or just think on your own, and then pray about what we've heard. And do pray now and in the future about the preaching, because I know we need it. So let's just take 2 minutes, either on our own or with someone near us, thinking about one of those questions. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that this particular word helps us to know what to expect in the year ahead. That there will be good, but there will also be bad. But that you are faithful and you sit over it all and you will sort it out in the end. And thank you that you show us what to treasure individually and as a church. And we pray that as we do that, you would build your kingdom in our lives and in the year ahead, and in the church and in the community. Amen. Do keep thinking about those things afterwards. Do chat about it. And if you'd like to pray.